enough to be playing against the world's very, very best in, say, a World Cup final against New Zealand or something like that.
Definitely. And then in... Go on, Zay.
Sorry. Now, as you mentioned, Russell, because obviously he's done it big in Australia, you know, playing in, National Rugby League, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he's got the mentality, a winning mentality. So do you think that's why he's been selected ahead of, say, Cipriani or Nick Easton?
Yeah.
Because he's got the winning mentality and he's done it overseas in Australia as well.
Well, that's almost the crux questions are here, isn't it? Is he being selected on reputation, or is he being selected on what he can 100% be guaranteed to deliver in an England Rugby Union jersey when that first World Cup game kicks off against Fiji a couple of weeks on Friday on September the 18th? And I think it's probably a combination of the two, because let's not forget, this first game against France, he did do very, very well. He did get yellow carded late in the first half, which wasn't great, for a cynical foul on the French scrum half, Morgan Parra, which wasn't brilliant, but, you know, we'll kind of let that one go. But on the whole, he and this other young player I mentioned, Henry Slade outside him, really took the game to the French. And I think that display, for his first actual official international cap, let's not forget that, in rugby union, to come out, and if that's your first game, that just adds to that bit that you were just saying about his big game mentality, his winning mentality, and the fact that he knows what you need to do to get across the line. And the fact the likes of the Easters, the Ciprianis, and one or two other players like Alex Gavizziero in the front row haven't been selected. We need proven winners. There are a few from the rugby union camp who are going, but I think probably someone like Burgess just adds that extra bit of nous as well going in. So we should wait and see whether or not he can deliver. The other thing I'll quickly say, guys, as well, is will he actually play? Because obviously this is a 31-man squad, and in the centres there's Brad Barrett of Saracens, great player, Jonathan Joseph of Bath, who definitely will play. He's fantastic. Those two, Slade and Burgess, probably only two of those four will play, so we're not even guaranteed to say necessarily that Burgess will be the starting 12 when we get to that game against the Fijians.
Definitely. Right, and to finish off with England, right, just one quick one. If there was any one person that you could bring back into the squad, who would it be?
Easter, I think I've already kind of hinted to. Excuse me, I'd like to see Easter. Cipriani, I do feel sorry for, because the thing about Danny is, okay, he's had his problems. We all know about his off-field issues over the years. He had them when he was at Wasps here. He had them when he went to play for the Melbourne Rebels in Australia. And the very first season he came back here and played for Sale, he had one or two personal issues as well. And it's only really the last year and a half, that he has matured as an individual, as a human being, and really learned what it takes to be a professional top-class rugby union player off the field as well as on it. And ironically, it's probably just come a little bit too late. So Cipriani, I kind of feel sorry for. Easter, I feel very, very sorry for. The only other thing I would mention is the argument that's been going on, which I'm sure you guys know about whether or not the players who play in the French League, in the top 14, the top 14, should have played. And there are only really two. There's Stéphane Armitage at Toulon and Nick Abandonen at Clermont-Auvergne. And they're two more outstanding players who have done very well in their domestic teams and very well on the European stage. And there was a huge furore for a long time about whether or not we should let the French-based players come back and play for England. They chose not to stick in the English system and went abroad. They've owed a lot of money doing it. They knew the decision. They knew the ramifications. And for me, England has done the right thing to not pick them. But again, a few of my illustrious colleagues would disagree there. So I'd say Easter, Cipriani, and then the other elephant in the room is the French-based stars. But all we can do now, guys, is say Stuart's picked his 31. It is a good 31. It's got a lot of talent in it. And we shall see over the next couple of months, starting mid-September, whether or not they can deliver World Cup glory for the first time since 2003. It's going to be a really, really, really exciting journey.
Let's hope so.
Fantastic, Russell. Let's move on to Wales. See, the concerning thing for me for Wales is George North. He's going to be the youngest to get 50 caps when he plays against Ireland. But, you know, obviously, as you know, he's had four blows through his head in the last 5 months. Would you actually allow him to play rugby at all? Forget the World Cup, but, I mean, generally, should he be playing rugby at all?
It's a real, real concern, and the England fullback Mike Brown has been in a similar position as well. He took an almighty blow to the head during the Six Nations game against Italy, and Brownie played once for his club, for England after that, and not at all for his club side. Actually, when he took to the field against France last week, that's the first time Mike Brown had really played properly apart from one other game since March. And you're right, George North has taken an array of hits to the head at both club level for Northampton Saints, including two in one game for Saints, and several, several for Wales as well. And it's a massive concern. And the general feeling is, if poor George North takes one more big hit to the head, that could be it. And for, as you rightly say, a young player who is so talented, and again, a really nice guy, really open, amicable, amiable guy who, you know, the world of rugby loves. He's kind of like Burgess in that sense. It would be a tragedy, but ultimately you've got to look at people's safety. And the problem, guys, here is that rugby, since it became a professional sport, because it was an amateur sport up until around the late 80s, early 90s, when you get professional players, they get bigger, they get stronger, you know, and that bar keeps being raised. The hits are harder, the intensity's bigger, the speed is faster, and ultimately the human body can only cope with so many hits of a certain intensity. And we are seeing over time the elements of concussion and repetitive injury become more and more of an issue. We see it in the front row with scrums and players who have neck injuries and have to keep retiring. We've seen loads of those, unfortunately, as well as the players like North and Brown who take concussions in the backs. And it really is a big worry, and you're really right to highlight North as being one of the major issues there.
Then would you have played him?
I think you've got to, because ultimately what else do you do? I mean, he's had months and months and months out of the game. What do? Do you wait longer? I mean, there's nothing really more they can do. Medically, he's been passed to play again. He's had the sufficient rest period. He's not going to get any better in any to now, so I think you have to do it. And with the World Cup coming around the corner, you've got to try it. But there is just that long, big concern about whether or not, you know, one more knock could be terminal to his career. And then just on a broader sense, Wales, they're a great team. They've done very well over the last few years in the Six Nations in particular. But at the moment, they're probably not in the very best of form. They've had a couple of disappointing results. They've had one or two internal issues to do with squad selection. And therefore, given all of that, they need their best players available for this World Cup to give them a bit of a shot in the arm.
Just one question, just one more question on the Wales issue. When it came to the 2011 World Cup, we had Sam Warburton and Lee Halfpenny, absolutely amazing, you know, performances.
Yeah.
But some people say, even though Sam Warburton was suspended for that semi-final, if I'm right, the missing of Halfpenny was more of a key issue. Do you think that's right? And do you think both of them can be very instrumental for Wales?
They're two wonderful players. They really are. And again, two really solid individuals. Lee and Sam are consummate professionals. I've had the pleasure to know them both over the years. And what I would say, weirdly, is that as much as England don't pick from the foreign contingent, what Wales' problem was is most of their best players all left. They left the Welsh regions. I mentioned some internal struggles and strife, and that's because, unfortunately, there's just no money in Welsh domestic rugby. The regional system hasn't worked for whatever reason, and a lot of the best stars have jumped ship to either the Aviva Premiership in England or to France. Some are slowly coming back. They're now working toward a central contract system or a dual contract system to try and bring their best talent back home again. But there was a point when, like, probably about 75% of Wales' best players were all playing overseas. And the issue there is twofold. Number one, they're not necessarily released and able to play for the training camps and available to train, but just also trying to control them and keep them in the sort of general wider sphere and fold is very, very hard indeed. And it's affected Wales to a degree. They've tried to redress it since. And Lee Halfpenny, for example, now plays at Toulon. He actually effectively replaced Johnny Wilkinson as Toulon's goal kicker last year. He's done a very good job of it, don't get me wrong. But Wales are just a little bit lost in terms of quite where their future lies, about how they kind of base their players and who pays them and where they play. Warburton nearly went abroad. He was eventually given a lucrative central contract to come back. That upset other players who wanted the similar kind of deal and didn't get it. Whether or not the squad harmony will be affected and the cohesion of the squad as we build to the Rugby World Cup, that's definitely an answer that hasn't yet been given.
Also, Russell, as you know, today, you know, Ryan Jones obviously was retired. He was a phenomenal player for them, you know, captained 33 times in 75 internationals, and obviously won the Grand Slam three times as well. So having him, would he have made it to the World Cup squad, or do you think because of his injuries, his time was up?
Would have been close because he was playing for Bristol as well. And one of the things Wales has now tried to do, actually, ironically, having let everybody play abroad, is trying to stop people playing abroad. So the fact he was playing for Bristol in the Championship, the second tier in England, wouldn't have counted in his favour. But as you say, what would have counted in his favour is the number of times he's played for Wales, the number of times he's captained Wales, and all of the Six Nations Championships and great wins across World Cups, Autumn Internationals and Six Nations Games that Ryan Jones was one of the pivotal features and figures in. So, yeah, again...